thank you so much for inviting me back to this holy dam, this holy place where the air and the ground and every step can remind you of Radha and Krishna and Krishna Balaram. This temple is very special in Vrindavan, and we will talk about it. But first we're going to have the Srimad Bhagavatam class briefly, because everybody has said they want the Katha, Prabhupada Katha, and the Krishna Balaram Katha to continue. So we'll do the Sanskrit, etc., and then I will speak on it.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 46. Panchadvarastu Purastya Dakhinaika Tathottara Paschimedve Amusamte Namani Nripavarnaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My dear King, of the nine doors, five led toward the eastern side, one led toward the northern side, one led toward the southern side, and two led toward the western side. I shall try to give the names of these different doors. Of the seven doors on the surface, namely the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one mouth, five look forward, and these are described as the doors facing the eastern side. Since looking forward means seeing the sun, these are described as the eastern gates. For the sun rises in the east, the gate on the northern side and the gate on the southern side represent the two ears, and the two gates facing the western side represent the rectum and genitals. All the doors are gates, and gates are described below.
This canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing discussions with King Paranjana. Paran means within this body or form, and Jana means the living entity. So it's talking about the living entity within the form of the body. And this is one of the first things Prabhupada has taught us, that you're not this body. What does that mean? It means that the soul inside the body is the consciousness. The body can change. Hindu, American, black, white, all of those are temporary designations. So the first thing Prabhupada was telling us was we're not this body, because it was a concept that's very hard to understand, because it's through our senses that we perceive things, whether they're spiritual or material. It's through our senses. So the five senses looking east, two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. Let's see. No, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth. This disciple of Subhash, Vinod Bhave, I heard him speak. He said, the reason we have two ears is so when somebody speaks, it can just go out the other ear. And that's the point of this purport, that we have the choice the choice to use our senses for temporary gratification, then more, or to use our senses to try to understand our relationship with Krishna. Now, Prabhupada wrote me a letter that sometimes there is suffering. But Krishna minimizes the suffering that you have. He does. I've seen it. Some of us were put in jail. It was lessened because Krishna was watching over us. Prabhupada said it categorically. Even this trip, I fell, I could have broken my hip, Krishna made it not so bad. Krishna's looking over us. And choice, we all have the choice. It's like the knife is a murder weapon or a scalpel for healing. Two-edged, duality, choice. Now the choice we have is to be heroic. Heroic means, it's like in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. I don't know if you know it, but David was a shepherd on the hill, and Goliath was like a raksha, demon, just the whole area was afraid of him. He was demanding sacrifices, women, everything. He was huge. David, a shepherd, made the choice to fight him with a sling. No one at that point said, David, you have to do it. He was just in the crowd. Later he became a king. So when you become a king, then everybody expects it. But this time he was just sitting in the hill. He made the choice. So the mouth has functions to speak and also to eat. And Prabhupada said, of all the senses, the first one to control is the tongue. And here's what Prabhupada meant. Here's another one of Prabhupada's beautiful adages. I said this to my father. Prabhupada gave this adage. Empty bowl makes most sound. Full bowl is silent. Empty bowl, a person without character will speak the most, like a ass braying. Full bowl is silent. He's content. He or she is content. They're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Which is why in this dham, it's easier. It's easier because everything speaks, reeks of Krishna. So it's easy to fill your mind like a library with good books. I said that to my father. Empty bowl is, a full bowl is silent, empty bowl makes the most sound. He said, that's what I sent you to college for? I went to college, but then I left for Krishna consciousness. Actually, he liked Krishna consciousness. So, the ears are north and south. So, the west is the rectum and the genitals. So these are the orifices of the body that we can use for sense gratification or Krishna consciousness. Why does the government build a jailhouse when there's no criminals? Prabhupada said. Because they know that some people will act like criminals and then the jailhouse will be filled. They build the jailhouse before it's full, knowing some people will fill it. So, again, we have the choice. So this chapter, this canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it goes through the dynamics of walking this razor edge of spiritual life. That there's so much Maya to attract us, and it's very difficult to keep on the path. But Prabhupada has given us a tangible thing. It's so nice for me to see all of you. And I wouldn't see all of you if Prabhupada didn't give us something valuable. Why would we still do it from all over the world now? As I said, more popular than Coca-Cola, Krishna consciousness. Why would we do this? And if it didn't work for so many years, why would we do this? As Prabhupada said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So he's given us some alternative from the material world. The two weapons are, the secret weapons are prasadam and harinam. But the other beautiful thing, I mean, there's so many beautiful things, art. You see the beauty of Radha and Krishna, Radhasham Shunda. You see the beauty of Krishna Balaram. You see the paintings. You see this beautiful samadhi. Even if it didn't have meaning, artfully it's beautiful. The artist who did that used the zenith of their consciousness for Krishna. They could have painted Bollywood signs, but they chose that. So, to me, one of the most beautiful things that Prabhupada has given me, besides the Vedic culture, wisdom, intelligence, direction. Every day I say, what would Prabhupada do if there's a dilemma? Again, the two-edged sword. But what he's really given me is this family of ours. We have each other, and each other of us have to help each other to become Krishna conscious, not envious. Admiring the qualities of each other. We all have talents for Krishna. And so, after 40 years, I look over and see one of my god brothers from Boston. He just showed up. I see one of my god brothers from Baltimore. I see one of my god brothers I met in Potomac. I see one of my old dear friends. He never grows old looking. He's so young looking all the time. From California, Shudi, Srinivarta, Dharmatyama. This Dharmatya is a great devotee. He won't say so, but he's made my stay here so nice. And that's the beauty. Tracy, her smiling face. All the devotees from behind the Iron Curtain. They're so sincere. I went to the festival in the Ukraine, 1400. 1400. Now 8,000 show up. Why would they do this? Because Prabhupada, in his words, gave us something tangible. Something to do with ourselves and our lives. So, that's the meaning of this chapter on how to make the choice to become Krishna conscious. So now, I will talk about the choice that we made to help build this magnificent temple. Krishna Balaram is special. Ramanreti, it has a certain rasa of playfulness, of protection, of brothers, of spontaneity, of friends playing, swimming, joking, putting each other on their shoulders, massaging Krishna's feet. And then after frolicking with Krishna, with Balaram, then Krishna has his many frolics with Radharani. So many wonderful Krishna, Radha Krishna leelas. From Krishna dressing up as a woman, because Radharani was being standoffish, she was not paying attention to Krishna, so he dressed up as a woman, and Radharani said, "Who is this most beautiful woman? This woman is enchanting. I can't help but be attracted to the beauty of this woman." And it was Krishna! Or he goes to Radharani's mother's house, because there is another suitor of Radharani. Someone was attracted to Radharani, so Krishna changed his form. He disguised himself as that other suitor and became very obnoxious so that Radharani would not have anything to do with him. So there's so many stories, and Krishna is the divine, mischievous one, and our protector, and our friend, and sometimes like a child. And Prabhupada would do that. Sometimes Prabhupada would let me dress him, and he was just like a little child, his belly sticking out a little, and he's putting the sweater down. Or we'd write a magnificent letter to Indira Gandhi, and he said, "Is that all right?" He knew it was all right, but he would say, "Is that all right?" Or he'd say, "Gurudas, ask this person to become a life member." I'd say, "No, Prabhupada, if you asked him..." He said, "No, I'm not sure about that, man. He might say no, and I don't like people to say no." Human. One time, somebody gave a whole big donation, money, rupees on the table. So another big, big man is coming in. So tomorrow Krishna starts to gather up the money, and Prabhupada said, "What? Don't. Why hide it? We're using it for Krishna. And besides, money makes money. Money makes money." He did it right here. The Punjab National Bank branch opened. And Prabhupada was joking with the man that we have all Krishna's money, so you should give us all the money. The Punjab National Bank. But that's later, because right now we just... So, in case anybody wasn't here last night, you were in Mayapur, right? Do you have a twin brother? Okay, I wasn't having a flashback to the 60s. It was another, okay. So, right here, we were saying last night how by Radharani's grace, we picked a piece of paper that said yes for Mr. Sharaf. Prabhupada was the ringmaster in Mr. Sharaf's house. We had to take care of the Radhadamodar rooms. We had to get this land. A former friend of mine, Shamadevi, was now our enemy because she wanted this piece of property. And it was just an empty plot of land. Nothing. A few trees, including this tree. There was another tree, and five owls came. They say owls are auspicious sign when they're silent, but when they screech, it's inauspicious. They were silent. There was a little dog on the land. Dogwood. We named him Dogwood. People wanted to hut the dog, but Jamuna and I took compassion on this dog because the dog had asthma. The dog would walk and go. We felt sorry for the dog. Just a piece of land, a few straw huts. We fed the dog. Anand came. Great devotee. Anand cooked. And as I said last night, took shock from the jungle. Olives. Everybody in the Gaudiya Math wanted Anand to come. Anand was very important to this center. He didn't speak English, but he was a first-class Pakka devotee that just inspired us. He was in his 70s and he was very strong and full of energy. And he laughed too, just like Krishnadas Babaji. And there was one devotee that didn't work and Anand wouldn't give him seconds. And he said, Gurudas, why is Anand piling everything on your plate and not giving me seconds? I said, because you're lazy. And also, that's another thing that happened. Once we started, all the misfits of budding ISKCON showed up in Vrindavan. All the people that were kicked out of temples or left the temples. It was like this painting someplace in Vrindavan of Shiva's wedding. And through the door are all the demons. They're coming through the door like, where's the food? There's owls and bats and people with big noses and big ears and big teeth. They're coming through the door. Well, some of the devotees that showed up in Vrindavan were just like flounderers. They kicked out. So finally Jamuna and I said, well, we have to screen devotees. And if they're not working, then they can only stay for 3 days. So if you wanted to stay here, we decided, please do some service. But at first there was Shirdakshai, Gunanava, myself, Jamuna, one other. Five. We lived at the Radhadamodar Temple. Prabhupada came there. It was very nice to live with Prabhupada at the Radhadamodar Temple. And so, slowly, we started to build this temple. First, we had to find a civil engineer. First, we had to find an architect. The first architect in Delhi, Kothari, didn't do a very good job. So we had to get our own architect from Amsterdam, Surabhi. And Prabhupada said, base this temple's design on Radhashyamsunda, new Radhashyamsunda temple in Vrindavan. So Surabhi and I went there, I photographed it, we made the dimensions. Unfortunately though, this Surabhi was not very personable. He was cold, scientific. So it was very hard to work with him. In London, Prabhupada said this is the most wonderful family temple. Jamuna is the mother, you're the father. It's not artificial. And Prabhupada proved it. He said men on one floor, women on another, and they're not mixing. Because they're so happy, it's just like this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sense is, if they were just not satisfied, they would have mixed. So we came from a beautiful family, and now it wasn't so easy. I don't want to say that it took 5 years of some sacrifice and some suffering, but one of the sufferings is that it was difficult to work with this devotee. And so Darby Shakti was pointing out that there was like a division in some ways between the deity and the cooking and everything about the temple and the construction. And so even though I was entitled president of the first Vrindavan temple, I had to oversee the expenses, the planning, the interaction between the visa people, the interaction between the bridge bosses. I'd have to go to Delhi to get cement. And I had to be also caring about the morale and health of all the devotees in the temple. After some time, I remember some of the pilgrimages and meetings, people would go to Mayapur for GBC and planning meetings. And when they'd come to Vrindavan, they looked like they were in the Maya Wars. They'd be limping in, unhealthy, ashen gray. I had to feed them, what's salad, the local cook said. Salad, salad. So we would take them on pilgrimage and bathing, like Kusum Sarova. And then I said to Prabhupada, as long as everyone's here, let's have workshops. All the Madanga players, all the temple presidents, all the cooks, all the accountants meet so they don't have to reinvent the wheel and make mistakes. We can learn from each other. Prabhupada said, yes, make a list. So I made a list of everything I could think of. And then Prabhupada, in his usual meticulous way, went through the list and he said, there are no doll makers. He always found the flaw. This, he said, the counting means putting it down immediately. So this one devotee from Mumbai, Bombay, back then, said, I don't have to do that. He was our treasurer. He was very intelligent, he thought. And we went through the day together, and I said, now at the end of the day, we count everything for the accounting. And there was about 15 things, and he said, he was very good, but I said, you forgot the ritual ride between the Victoria Station and the Sea Palace Hotel. And while I mentioned the Sea Palace Hotel, you please must forgive me that chronologically I may jump around, but it's because there's an important story and I don't want to forget it. So I'll get back to here, but first we were in Bombay and we had to register the society. We used the Aurobindo aims and objects, not the spirituality, but you can buy land, you can distribute literature, videos, films, the basics. It was already there, so we used it. Then the founder Acharya shall be A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So then the next line said, the founder Acharya shall have full veto power. The very next line. Prabhupada looks at it and says, who is founder Acharya? You? Brahmananda? If Brahmananda, you're listening to it, I don't mean to be mean, but Prabhupada said that. You got it from 5,000 miles across the sea. Who's founder Acharya? You? Brahmananda? I had a wonderful meeting with Brahmananda and Gargamuni. This is the family, you know. We were on the front lines together. They went to Pakistan, so many things. So, it was very nice to see them the other night. Gargamuni was saying how the family feeling in San Francisco was special to him, and Prabhupada said the same thing. It was a very special place. I asked him. So now we're registering the society, and he says, who's founder, Charlie? You? I said, no, no. I sounded like little Saraswati when Prabhupada used to tease her. She'd be on Samashinda's shoulder near a pond, and he'd say, can Saraswati swim, Samashinda? And she'd say, no, no. Can she swim? Go ahead, Samashinda. He would tease her. So I said, no, no, Prabhupada. He said, you must rectify this. The founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, shall have full veto power. His point is, if there wasn't a name, number one, it's impersonal, and number two, somebody else could insert their name. Because at the very beginning of our movement, there were four people that were saying Prabhupada's God. And Prabhupada said it's like the handle of an axe cutting down the tree. Because if they say I'm God, then when I leave the planet, they'll become God. That was his point, yes. Impersonalism. It's nuance. There's a lot of impersonalism in the guise of personalism. We have to love one another. Don't take each other for granted. This is our family. We have each other. Treat everybody like you treat me. So, you must rectify this. So I had to call, we had a board of directors, some very nice people who are helping us, board of directors, about five. And so we had to make an amendment. Tandacharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada will have full veto power. We made the amendment because that's what you had to do officially. It was the weekend, though, and we were all living at Mr. Chabia's Sea Palace Hotel. Jamuna, myself, Prabhupada, it was so nice to be with Prabhupada in that hotel. He liked pomegranate juice, and we would walk by the Kolhapur Ocean together. But now, because I didn't rectify this and it was the weekend, Prabhupada was giving me the silent treatment. I don't know if you know what the silent treatment it is, but somebody's not talking to you because they're not pleased with you. Usually it happens between man and woman. Oh, the wife is not, she's very angry. Well, he's angry at her, so they won't talk. So from Prabhupada strolling by the ocean, me being with him like always, feeling comfortable in his presence, suddenly he's not talking or looking at me. He's walking down the hall, and I went, there's a hall like this, like an L, and I went behind the wall, and when he came, I jumped out, and he expertly, he avoided me, and he didn't look or talk to me. So, Monday, I show up at the clerk's office with the amendment, and I go in there, and he says, oh no, this will take some time. We have to review it. He was wanting bakshi. He was wanting a bribe. I never in the history of my 5-6 years in India gave a bribe to anybody. Never. The cement man wanted a bribe. This is for Krishna. You want to put the cement in a movie theater? This is for Krishna. I'm not going to give you any bribe. My New York came out, you know, so I say to the guy, I say, you must sign this now. I said, tonight I'm having a meeting with the head of the CID, the press corps, and some other big name. I said, so tonight in the newspaper, you want me to put that, you want a bribe? You don't know the law or you're fool number one, which do you want? Then I banged the desk, boom! He said, I'll sign. I bring it to Prabhupada. I'm crying tears. I don't want to be found to Acharya Prabhupada. I really don't. I know, but I could think that. That's the lesson. I know you didn't want to be, but because of the actions, because of the deeds, I can think that. Personalism. And that's like this verse. Be cognizant, be aware of your actions. Especially in our dealings with each other. We're having to recover from some non-Vaishnava-like tactics of some of our leaders who were very self-centered and changed some of the original things that Prabhupada put in place to manipulate other people. And yet I still continue knowing some of these imperfections. They're like pockmarks on the moon, because Prabhupada said Krishna will minimize the suffering, and because I thought that the intrinsic This heart of Krishna consciousness never changes, no matter what people's actions do. And people have said, no, you must not marry, you must be married, you gotta get out of here. So many injustices. People were getting people to take books by cheating methods, flim flam. I was the worst book distributor because I would talk to somebody for an hour so they'd really read the book. And when I told Prabhupada that some people are throwing the books in the rubbish at the airport, he said, no, this must change. So the same thing, now we have this plot of land and this construction crew was hard to work with. They, you know, you'd ask a question, this temple president, none of your business. What? No, but to show you the mentality, and I'm not meaning to do Vaishnava aparad to this god brother, but I have to tell the story, the true story. So in the light of scientific storytelling, not demeaning somebody, because that's their karma. Whatever people's actions do, actually this person happens to be suffering now. So that's not the point, to demean this person. Everybody has their nature. He used to say, why are you complimenting people so much? It's just sentimentality. I see the good in people. What's wrong with that? But they call it sentimental. Sentimental become like a curse word, right? Is that not strange? That if someone had a sentimental heart, they were fools? We all join bhakti yoga because it's a yoga of heart and compassion and love. Not organization and management. That's part of it, but it's love. So this tree, right here, Prabhupada used to sit under the tree in Radhadamrita Temple in Calcutta. It's like that. And so this devotee wanted to cut the tree down because it would give more space in the temple. And I immediately went to Prabhupada and said, Saurabh wants to cut the tree down, Prabhupada. It's a tamal tree and there's very few trees in Vrindavan. Plus, it would be so nice for you to sit under it. He said, yes, move the temple! Move the temple! Save the trees. Prabhupada was benign to every living entity. I saw him with the butterfly jumped on his finger. Then he said, open the window so the butterfly can get something to eat. So here, this empty plot of land, we had to get an engineer. We were living in straw huts, but they were nice because in the summer they were cool and in the winter they were warm. Down the road was a Bhagati. He helped us. Very nice man. Trustworthy. Prabhupada confided in him in all the planning stages. Mr. Kapoor came and helped with accounting. And Vishwambar Goswami, the ex-mayor of Vrindavan, was wonderful to us. He was at Radharaman Temple. Plus, I got to meet the local Brijbasinis. There was one Sripad who had the mystic cities. And he could appear and disappear at will. So he'd pop up behind me and hug me. Radhanath, was a friend of his. And our Asim Krishna Das, another Western devotee, these were some of the devotees, Rishikeshananda, living over at Ban Maharaj's. So my job was to go around, interact, make friends with the devotees of Vrindavan, go to Delhi to get cement, go to Delhi to get visas, and Mathura. Well, there was Radhanath knows this man, the most obnoxious visa person in the world in Mathura. He wanted bribes, he wanted compliments, he had a big ego, he was hard to deal with. Well, Gurudas, you go and deal with him. Why me? Okay, Prabhupada, you take care of all the visas for all of us in Delhi, Mathura. Well, somebody told me something that Prabhupada had said, and I didn't believe it. A group of people. I knew they were trying to manipulate me. And I was angry because I thought Prabhupada didn't say that. They did. And I wanted to find out from Prabhupada if this is correct. So it was at Fogel Ashram, and Prabhupada's on the land here. And I very rarely get angry. But when I do, I really do. It's like I'm a Scorpio, so I'll get so angry I might even sting myself. That's how foolish. That's why I don't get angry very much. But I was angry, so I'm going to Prabhupada, and this man from visa office, 2 years of diplomacy, complimenting, cajoling. He said, "Oh, Gurudas ji, Gurudas ji." And I said, "Get out of the way." 2 years of diplomacy. I said, "Prabhupada, blah, blah, blah." I don't want to reveal exactly the story, but did you say, he said, "No, I am not pressuring." It was. They were manipulating. So, empty land, what to do? Prabhupada said, put a place for cows to drink water. That was the first thing we built on this land. Put a place for cows to drink. All fields, no shops. Well, I shall continue this story tonight at 5 p.m. because now it's time to. So come tonight, I shall tell how this empty field manifested into this beautiful Krishna Balaram temple. Thank you very much.